Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men," somebody say the fourth man, "walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Turn to your neighbor and tell him, faith under fire. Turn to your second choice neighbor and tell him, you better have faith, because eventually you're going through the fire. You may be seated in the house of God. Last session, we talked about that Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel were from the tribe of Judah. They were praisers. Where are my praisers at today? Come on, that's all of us, right? Praising, and we talked about he picked from the wrong tribe, but you know, he was picking the best. I don't think it is coincidence that the best of Israel were the praisers of Israel. When you missed it there. When you praise, you're going to enter into the season of your best. Because when you praise God, Jehovah God shows up with everything that he has. And in your weakness, he is made strong, because in my weakness, boom, God shows up. And so he picked Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the praisers. And they realize that if praise gets us into the fire, then praise is going to get us out of the fire. If praise gets you into the problem, then praise is going to deliver you from the problem. And we ended last session talking about that the devil knows your name but calls you by your sin. But thank God, God knows us by our sin but calls us by our name. Realize this: God knows every dirty secret about us, and he still loves us. God knows what we did last summer and what we did 10 summers ago, and he still loves us. God knows the attitude you had coming into church this morning, and he still loves you. God is not concerned about what you did. God is concerned about you aligning yourself with who he has called you to be. So far, King Nebuchadnezzar has taken the three Hebrew boys away from their country, their tribe, their families. He's tried to change their appetite to control them. He's tried to change their names to change them. Everything that the enemy had done to them up to this point was to break them down. Understand that the enemy does not come and attack you once, but that he has a strategy to come at you on Monday and to break you down a little bit, and then to come at you on Tuesday and to break you down a little more, and Wednesday to break you down some more, and hopefully he wants you to miss halftime on Wednesday night, because the devil knows if you get into this worship climate and you hear Bishop preaching on the wonderful world of worship, he knows that what he's done Monday and Tuesday is going to be overdone and undone by God Almighty. And so he picks at you, trying to take you back. That's why David would say, 7 times a day, I praise God. Why do I praise God 7 times a day? Because that old devil keeps trying to show up and break me down and nitpick my life and accuse me and drag me back to who I used to be. But thank God, we are not who we used to be. We are better than we used to be, and we are on our way to a healthy place, a better place, and a wealthy place in Jesus' name. So everything that the enemy has done up to this point was to break the three Hebrew boys down. But the enemy knows this, if you're taking notes. The enemy knows if you have a breakdown, it is hard to have a breakthrough. That's why you better have a breakthrough before you break down. Come on now. I talked to the young people last night. Isn't it funny that you never run out of gas by a gas station? You run out of gas at the least opportune place. You're out there on Interstate 10. You're out there on Interstate 35, and there's nothing around. Where you're on a back road somewhere, and the devil loves to mess with you when you leave the protection of an anointed place like Living Way, and he gets you away from your praise partners and your prayer partners and your faith partners, and he gets you out in that old world, and you can't watch CNN and Fox News without getting fighting mad, and people at your job are running their mouths, and you might even be married to somebody that's running their mouth, and so he's trying to break you down. But can I encourage you, when you feel like you're about to break down, you ought to pray through through so you can break through. And I got news for somebody today. You need to change your declaration. I'm not breaking down, I'm breaking through. The fire is not going to kill me. The fire is going to make me famous. You're famous for what you've been through. You're famous for what you've been through. Breakdown means this, to wear out. There's somebody in here listening, watching today, that you've been wearing out. You feel worn out. You woke up tired. You woke up dragging. And you're thinking, God, if I could just get... Listen, we got to stop saying things like, if I could just get to church, if I could just get, you don't want to just do anything. You got a Bible. You got a voice. You got a God that's ready to hear your voice. You say, I can't sing like this team. You don't need to sing like this team. God made special preparation for you when he put in the Bible, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You don't have to be able to sing like this team. You can just bellyache for Jesus. Jesus. Breakdown means wearing out, a sudden loss of the ability to function. The ability, the sudden loss, that word sudden, that sudden loss of the ability to function. I am meeting people every day of my life, whether it's at the forum, whether it's at the gas station, HEB, or anywhere in between. I am running into people that have lost the ability to function. They can't talk right. They can't live right. Their life is a mess because they have broken down. And it comes on suddenly. Because he doesn't do it in one big fail swoop. He just gets a little bit until finally he's weakened you enough just to shove you over. That breakdown, a sudden loss of the ability to function. But this is what a breakthrough is. A sudden, they're both sudden. A breakthrough is a sudden significant advancement. A sudden significant achievement. A sudden significant increase. Your choice when you are faced with breakdown is the enemy does not want you to know that any time that you are faced with breakdown, breakthrough is still an option. It is still an option. I thought I'd get a better amen on a Sunday morning. That when the enemy gives me the option, Brandon, you're about to break down. If I would just pivot my head to the right, there is another option, and that option is to break through. Why would there be breakdown and breakthrough right side by side at the same level? Because breakthrough doesn't come easy. That's why I said it a few services ago. That's why it's not called a step through. It's called a breakthrough. Because sometimes there is a wall that I've got to praise that thing out of my way. Sometimes there is obstacles and there is strongholds that I've got to pray. I've got to worship. I've got to fast. I've got to give. I've got to serve my way through. And so suddenly, I know I don't have to break down, but I can break through. The three Hebrew children realized this. The same God that was God when we were free is the same God that is God when we are oppressed. Come on now. The same God that was God when I was well is the same God that is the God when I'm sick. The same God that was with me on the mountaintop. Come on, David knew. He didn't say, though I walk through the mountaintop. He said, though I walk through the valley. I understand the same God with me that stands and helps me preach on the platform is the same God that would follow me right out the back door. The same God that was here when we were singing Rattle is the same God that will be there tomorrow when you show up to work and everything is not right. You've got to understand, I'm not breaking down. I'm breaking through. It's going to take a little oomph. It's going to take a little energy. It's going to take a little effort. But devil, you picked the wrong tribe because we are praisers. And when you show me fire, I will show you my faith. I've got great faith under fire. Verse 8, chapter 1 of Daniel. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. If you're taking notes, write this down. To have faith under fire, you must purpose in your heart, a.k.a. you must make up your mind. The problem that I see with a lot of people is they've never made up their mind. They change their mind, but they don't make up their mind. The problem with changing your mind is there will always be somebody that is an eloquent enough speaker to change the way you think. And so if you change your mind on Sunday, you might meet somebody on Monday that changes your mind again. And then there can be a smooth-talking salesman, shyster, whatever you want to call, that changes your mind on Tuesday. And you come back in here, and Bishop preaches a masterpiece on Wednesday. Oh, I changed my mind. Quit changing your mind and make up your mind. Purpose in your heart. I'm not going to do things that defile God. I'm not going to do things that disrupt the presence. You know why I didn't go out drinking with my buddies last night? Because I'm saved, I'm sanctified, and I had a job to do this morning. You know why I don't run around on my wife? Why? Because I'm saved, I'm sanctified, and I've got to do things today that when I'm in the fire, I'm not, listen, making myself a liability in the fire because of what I was doing when there wasn't no fire there. If you fail in the fire, it's because you failed to plan. And when you fail to plan, as my coach would say, you plan to fail. The reason I don't go out and get high on crack cocaine is, number one, I'm too cheap to do drugs. Let's just say number one, too cheap. Number two, I can't trust Brandon all the time when he's sober. Some of y'all act crazy and you don't have nothing in your system. Come on now. Some of us are acting real squirrely, and we ain't drank in years. We ain't put nothing up our nose, down our throat, in our veins. It's been decades. Listen, at least then you had an excuse. What's your excuse now? The way I conduct myself in times of no fire, it will define me in the fire. And so I need to tell you, live right, talk right, walk right, speak right. Everything about you needs to be pursuing God. I'm not going... It was as simple as they said, we want you to eat steak. And Daniel said, no, I'm not going to eat what you want me to eat. I'm going to eat what God tells me to eat. You say, is it that simple? More importantly, Daniel's showing us, it's not always about the physical. Daniel's showing us what you put into your body. Come on now. What you put into your mind, what you put into your spirit. Man, you look at Josh right here. Josh has been standing up the whole service. Some of you are saying, I wish he'd sit down. And I'm saying, I wish you'd stand up. You don't know what he's been through. I don't know what he's been through. I know more than you know about what he's been through. And so if he wants to stand up, stand up. If he wants to praise, praise. If he wants to worship, worship. Well, he praises too loud. No, you praise too quiet. Well, I wish he'd do it different. No, we wish you'd do it different. Why? Because what he's doing now is preparing him for the next furnace in his life. And when he steps in, he's not going to remember what you said. He's going to remember what God did in the middle of my life. I didn't do anything that took me away from God, but I pursued God. I pursued God. But if him standing up really bothers you, move over here. Over there. I like having somebody to preach to. So like the next 15 minutes is me and him. If anybody else gets it, that's fine, but it's me and him. I like somebody who said, hey, in times of peace, I'm going to fill myself up. In times when I don't need it. I'm from the tribe of Judah. 3 years before, they didn't know that they were going to be captured. They're out there worshiping. They're out there praising. Why? Because God knew there's a fire coming, and I want to get you ready for the fire. I want to get you ready for the tough times of life. I'm not going to break down. I'm going to break through. I love this. Come on now. I'm not going to break down. I'm going to break through. My breakthrough is defined by my been through. You don't know what everybody around you has been going through. You don't know the hell they had to fight just to make it through the week. I don't want to bring attention to it, and so I'm not going to mention any names. But two people I know in my life, two people have called me this week saying, Pastor, we need you to pray. Because, and I'm talking about immediate family members in their families have committed suicide. You don't know the people sitting around you. Some of them had a bottle of pills ready to end it all this week. Somebody had put the bullets in the chamber and were ready to end it all this week. I'm here to tell you, I'll never despise your praise. I'll never despise your worship. I don't know what you've been through. And so I can't talk about your breakthrough. I don't know what you're fighting. I don't know what you're trying to get out of. I don't know what you're getting ready for. But I do know this. If you keep fighting, you won't die. If you keep going forward, you won't backslide. If you keep serving God, you won't go the other way. My breakthrough is defined by my been through. Woo! You ever think that maybe we preach David so strong because he was an adulterer? His story's better because he was an adulterer. Forget the real wives of Atlanta. Talk about the real house husbands of Jerusalem. His story's better because he failed. Has been through. So when he comes dancing, come on now. And he start, come on, I'm going to take off my jacket anyway because I'm hot, but I promise you it ends there. And so when he comes dancing through, and his own wife says, don't dance like that. She's coming against his breakthrough, not knowing all that he's been through. I'm talking to somebody that has a lot that you've been through. We're not going to despise your breakthrough. You keep coming to the altar every time they're open. You keep worshiping like you want to worship. If you get too loud, we got rooms for you where you can worship the rest of the day. It ain't going to bother us. You keep praising. You keep shouting. You keep dancing. You keep running. I don't know you've been through, so I can't talk about and measure your breakthrough. My breakthrough, come on now. Your breakthrough is defined by your been through. Even that you have been through, everything that you have been through has been a targeted attack, listen to this, to get you to shift your focus, transfer your faith, and alter the direction of your worship. We're getting ready to go to that fiery furnace in the next 7-8 minutes. Everything that Nebuchadnezzar did in the lives of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he said, I want to change what you eat, not because I want to dictate every part of your life. I want to change your name, not because I like Belshazzar better than Daniel. That's not it. He said, I want to change your appetite, and I want to change what we call you, because and you don't see it happening all at once because there are just subtle changes here. He said, I want you to shift what you worship. Everything the enemy does against you is not because he hates you. It's because he hates God. It's not because he doesn't want you to have money. It's not because the devil's the devil. What he's really trying to do when he messes with your marriage is shift your focus. What he does when he brings cancer is he shifts your focus from here to here. When you have problems with your kids, now you're looking at them. You're worshiping the situation. Because worship is what? It's not a head deal. It's a heart deal. It's a spirit deal. So when your children hurt, it's very easy for our hearts to go, whoo. And now we've shifted our focus. The enemy would love to get your eyes off of Jesus with everything that's going on. Let me tell you something. God is God. God is still in control. I believe that our greatest days in this nation are still ahead of us. Can I encourage you? Protest. Speak out on the inequality. Speak out on the injustices. Speak out on all of these things. But can I encourage you, don't find yourself worshiping everything that's going on with your heart and your spirit. You engage yourself. You make change. You promote change. You do whatever you feel is necessary to bring about the changes that you think this nation needs. But can I encourage you, all of that comes second to worship. That's biblical. I'm not going to let my focus shift. I remember when we were raising little kids, we would have to distract them so that mama could leave. We'd literally get them new toys. Tyler, look at this new toy so Mandy could leave for a real treat. Because if Tyler saw Mandy leave, start crying. A big old baby. Just like a big old baby, Tyler, up in the TV room, just crying like a big old baby. He was like 13 years. No, just kidding. Devil does the same thing. The devil will give us things to distract us, to get our attention off, so that when God moves, we don't move with him. It's not that God leaves us. It's that God is moving somewhere. And my worship allows me to move with him. And when I move, you move. Too much? Just making sure you're awake, just like that. Tammy Green, get to this altar. No, just kidding. So that when God moves, don't let the devil distract you. Issues are important. Don't let them distract you. Let me tell you something. There are all kinds of shiny things out there. The devil say, look, look. Some of them are good things. Some of them are new things. But then sometimes he creates a distraction in your marriage so you quit worshiping. Makes a distraction on your job so you quit worshiping. Makes a distraction around you so you quit worshiping. The enemy knows that if he can get them to worship something else, the fires of life will consume them. Daniel chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, and the herald cried aloud. I'm going to finish this real quick. He said, it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all the kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whosoever falleth not down and worship shall at the same hour be cast into the midst of a fiery furnace. Now we see it's never been about appetite or name. It's always been about their worship. Which is why he took the tribe of Judah. Because he said, if I can get the best worshipers of Judah to forget about Jehovah and turn to another God, I will take all of the nation of Israel with. But the problem is he picked the wrong three worshipers. He picked the wrong three praisers. While they begin to praise, and they heard the announcement on Twitter, and they saw it on Instagram, and somebody Snapchatted Meshach and said, if you don't start worshiping this false idol that they've made, you're going to burn up. He began to talk to Shadrach and Abednego, and he said, hey, we've got a decision to make. And they didn't even have to talk about it. The decision's already made. We don't bow to anybody but God. We don't worship anybody but God. I don't do this for anybody but God. As crazy as we were acting during praise and worship, I don't do that for the Spurs, especially now. I don't do that for the Cowboys. I don't do that. I've been to some secular concerts where it looked like everybody was worshiping, but when I looked at the stage, I didn't see no praise, no worship, and I didn't see Jesus. And so let me tell you, what I do in here is only for Jesus. I don't act this way for anybody. I can act this way out there, but it's never for them. It's always for him. What you worship determines, what you worship determines whether the fire ruins you or refines you. The fire's coming, y'all. It's coming. But what you do in your worship defines in your life whether the fire from the adversary ruins you or refines you. I love the refining fire of God because it takes out all of the impurities of my life. It takes out the things that are contrary to the things of God in my life. Daniel chapter 3, verse 10. O king, you've made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever doesn't fall down and worship, he should be cast in the midst of the fiery furnace. There are certain Jews who have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Then he names them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods. They don't worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Your stand and your lack of following the crowds will always get you. I love Living Place because we are a worshiping, not made up of three or four. But the worshipers outnumber the non-worshipers. Most churches are not like that. Most churches, you've got three or four people that make a big deal about worship, and that's it. But at Living Way, man, they're worshiping in the balcony. I saw them worshiping. They're worshiping up front. They're worshiping at their seat. Fathers are bringing their sons to worship. Teenagers are worshiping. Families are coming to worship. I want to encourage you. And isn't it amazing? I was telling man, the quarantine first started. It was tough on me. Not spiritually. It was tough on me emotionally for those first few days because Sister Gloria, the last 45 years and 38 years, we have done everything we can do to get people to come to church. And then for 10 weeks, we had to do everything we could do to keep people from coming to church. It was so hard. It was so hard that we would promote. We paid thousands of dollars for billboards, for TV commercials. Come to Living Way. Come to Living Way. And on that first Sunday of quarantine, we had literally lined up out the door. And we had to tell them, you can't come in. And here they are saying, worship, worship, worship. They have worshiped all of their lives. And now they're making the decision, we can't worship. We can't worship that. What you worship, what you don't worship, says everything about your future. Daniel chapter 3, verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said to them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you don't serve my gods nor worship the golden image that I've set up? Now, if you be ready at the time that you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, goes through the whole thing. If you fall down and worship the image which I have made, but if you don't worship, you're going to be cast in the same hour into the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? If the enemy can't change you, he tries to bully you. And the way that you deal with a bully, I don't even know if I should say this, you punch him in the face. Let's just talk spiritually. Kids, don't hit the bully in the face. I don't want emails and messages all week long. When the devil shows up, the moment he starts talking, punch him in the face. Don't even let him get it out. Well, I want to hear what he has to say. He's the father of all liars. Everything that comes out of his mouth is a lie. So the moment he sidles up into your life and says, hey, I've been meaning to tell you, but pop right in the face. And if he comes back, hit him again. And if he comes back, hit him again. Hit him with that two-piece. If you got to hit him with a three-piece, hit him with a three-piece. If you got a Floyd Mayweather for a while, you Floyd Mayweather till you can Mike Tyson. But you jab, jab, jab. But then you knock him out. Oh, he's getting it now. Josh is doing the little dance. Do the dance. Oh, there it is right there. You got to do what you got to do to keep him out of your face. Because the enemy, if he sees he can't change you, is going to try to step to you and bully you and make you do something you know is not right. Somebody say, you got a Mayweather till you can Tyson. That's so good. If you don't, Mike Tyson, I saw, sidebar, I saw Mike Tyson at 53 sparring. That dude is still the baddest man on the planet. I'm just telling you. I'd get in the ring with him, though, for $1 million, if anybody wants to make that happen. If the enemy can't change you, he'll try to bully you. Verse 16, I'm almost done. Pastor Beck, if you'll come, put a little pressure on me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, I love this. We are not careful to answer you in this manner. What they're saying is we're not scared of you, and we've already made up our mind. We don't need to talk about this. We don't need to have a vote on this. We don't need to have 3 hours to discuss this. We don't need to go through all of the things. We don't need to pray about it. We don't need to fast about it. We don't need to talk to God about it. The answer is no. We will never bow. You better get the fiery furnace ready. You don't even have to play it a second time. I'm not bowing to that. That's the kind of faith you need, that when the enemy shows up, you say, no, I'm not going to be sick. I'm going to be well. I'm not going out like that. Nope, I'm not going to let hate rule my life. Nope, I'm not going to let you mess up my marriage. Nope, I'm not letting you steal my kids. Nope, I'm not going to die broke. I'm not going out like that. I'm going to keep worshiping God. You keep trying to do whatever you're going to do. I'm going to worship God. I don't have to pray about my worship. I just worship. I don't have to pray about giving. I just give. Can I just give you a sidebar? Quit praying about the things that God has already settled in the Word of God.
That's right. That's right.
Quit praying about it. Well, let me pray and see if I need to tithe. Wasted prayers, deaf ear. He's already told you. Well, let me see if I need to worship. Let me really, let me please God. Let me fast about it. Don't be silly. Don't fast about worship. But let me see if I need to serve. No, you need to serve. You're not a placeholder in the kingdom of God. We don't need you to keep that pew warm until somebody else shows up. We need you to keep that pew warm every other service and then serve every other service or serve once a month. Listen, I'm here to tell you today that the enemy is trying to put you in a position where he is forcing you to do what he wants you to do, but you don't have to be. He said, we're not careful to answer you in this manner. We have to get that level of faith to let the Holy Spirit guide us in what we say. Verse 17, if it be so, God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, we will never serve your gods. We will never worship the golden image that you have set up. This is, and I prayed about this, I thought about this, and I feel a release to go ahead and say it. This is the greatest faith statement in all of the Bible, including the New Testament. Right here. Not talking about salvation faith. I'm talking about statement of faith. The best faith is this. God will deliver me. But if he doesn't, I still won't bow. God will heal me. But if he doesn't, I'm still worshiping him. God will do this. But if he doesn't, I'm still not going to go out like everybody else is going out. I'll go out with my hands uplifted. I'll go out with my heart engaged and my faith focused. Why is this the greatest faith? Because it revolves around the strength of relationship with God and the worship to God. Why the greatest faith? Because Jesus said in Matthew 8:10 that he had not seen this greater faith in all of Israel, talking about the centurion servant. He said, I've never found it in Israel, but I found it in the Old Testament in Babylon in 3 guys. Wow. Jesus said, I've never seen it in Peter, but I saw it in Shadrach. I've never seen it in Israel. I've never seen it in the synagogue. I've never seen it in the temple. But I found it in a furnace. Thousands of years ago. Your faith is not showcased on the mountaintop or when the sun is shining. You don't really know the strength of your faith until you're in the fire. And by then, it's too late. You don't build your faith in the fire. You build your faith when nothing's wrong. So that when you show up in the fire, you know I've got more than enough to get me through this. Daniel 3, verse 19, I'm closing with this. Then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he spoke and commanded. He said, heat the furnace up 7 times more than it's ever been heated. The hottest fire that had ever been used, 7 times hotter. And he commanded the most mighty men, verse 20, to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men were bound in their coats, their hats, their hose, and their garments were cast in the middle. Isn't it amazing that the biggest in the army of King Nebuchadnezzar, he called the strongest and the biggest. He said, bind them. And when they went to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire, it killed them. That's Genesis 50, verse 20, Romans 8, 28, in a nutshell. Your biggest enemy will be destroyed by the thing that was designed to destroy you. If I could preach about Haman for 15 seconds, Haman built a tower to hang Mordecai the Jew from. Mordecai was used by God, delivered the entire nation of Israel. And the very tower that Haman built to hang Mordecai, Haman was hung from a few days later. I am here to tell you, when you see the weapon, oh, this is going to give somebody a revelation. The weapons formed against me will not prosper. Not only will that not prosper, they're going to pivot and they're going to kill the thing that was designed to kill me. It's going to take out the enemy that was designed to take you out. Stand on your feet. Biggest enemy of 2020 is going to be taken out by their own weapon. By their own weapon. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound. I might fall down bound. You might fall down bound, but you're getting up free. If I fall in faith, I'm getting up free. If you fall in faith, you're getting up free. Our original text, did we not cast three men into the fire? He said, I see four men loose, no longer bound. What had bound them through the refining fire no longer held them back. Sometimes you need to go through the fire because it burns out of you what you don't need. What's held you back? What's held you down? What's stagnated? What's retarded your progress? Whatever it may be. Jesus shows up. Their praise and their faith, I love this, pulled Jesus from the New Testament and brought him to the Old Testament. I went to Bible school. I love theology. I love all of those things. But nobody could ever teach this right because they try to teach around it. But the fact that there was three ordinary praisers and faith-filled people that said, Jesus, you haven't been born yet on this earth, but our praise and faith is so great. That's why Jesus said, I haven't seen so great a faith in all of Israel. I found it in Babylon. They reached 2,000 years, 3,000 years into the future, and they brought Jesus to where they were. I will never fear the furnace because of who stands with me. I have faith under fire, and my faith is called Jesus to me today. You might be in the fire, but you're one praise away from Jesus showing up. You're one act of faith from Jesus showing up. Natasha has broken the ice. It's the hardest thing to be the first one to make a move. But I want to encourage everybody in this building to look within yourself. There's two types of people. You're either in the fire or you're preparing for the fire. Which one are you? If you're preparing for the fire, are you sure your faith is strong enough to face whatever is in your future, whatever your tomorrow holds? If you're not sure, I want you to join us. Olivia, God has a plan for you. I've seen you grow by leaps and bounds the last few months. I've seen your countenance change. I've seen clarity in your eyes. I've seen your spirit surge and grow, but I'm here to tell you all of that is in preparation.